Micah 6:8. It's good to be here this morning. I appreciate the opportunity to share the Word of God with you and those who are visiting us. Our only purpose here is to worship God, to give Him the glory and give Him the honor, and to serve as He wants us to serve. In Micah 6:8, the prophet wrote, "He has shown you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God?" One of the three characteristics that Micah says God requires here is humility. And we not only find this characteristic listed in the Old Testament, we also find it in the New Testament. For example, Paul writes in Colossians chapter 3, verse 12, "Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, and long-suffering." Again, one of the characteristics that God's people are displaying in their lives is that of humility. And this characteristic, I think, is so important and essential that the proverb writer declares in Proverbs 15:33, "The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility." Humility is so important that it comes before honor. So this morning I want to ask and look at, what does humility look like? How does it act? And what does it produce for those of us who are disciples of Jesus Christ? But let's begin by looking at an example of what the proverb writer means by turning to 2 Chronicles chapter 7, and I'm going to read verses 11 through 15. Now we have in this chapter the completion of the temple of God by Solomon and the dedication of the temple. So let's begin reading in verse 11. "Thus Solomon finished the house of the Lord in the king's house, and Solomon successfully accomplished all that came into his heart to make in the house of the Lord and in his own house. Then the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said to him, 'I have heard your prayer and have chosen this place for myself as a house of sacrifice. When I shut up heaven and there is no rain, or command the locusts to devour the land, or send pestilence among my people, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear them from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. Now my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to prayer made in this place.'" Humility produces forgiveness when we act in the right way. And it produces forgiveness from God. And we see many examples in the Old Testament and the New Testament of people of God who displayed humility in their lives. Among the leaders of the people, for example, we see this characteristic in Abraham in Genesis 18:27, when he referred to himself as dust and ashes in speaking. And then we see that again in Jacob in Genesis 32:10, when he said he was unworthy of God's blessings. We see this again in Isaiah 6:5, when Isaiah said he was ruined due to unclean lips. We see this in Matthew chapter 3 and verse 14, when John the Baptist said that he was unworthy to even untie the sandals of Jesus. And he expected Jesus to baptize him rather than him to baptize Jesus. And we see this in the Apostle Paul in Acts 20:19, when Paul said that he served the Lord with all humility. Humility is what we need to have before honor. And the ultimate example, I think, of humility is Jesus Christ. God Himself, who declared in Matthew 11:29, "Take my yoke upon you and lean from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." lowly in heart is the essence of humility. Jesus was God in the flesh, and yet he could lower himself and talk about being lowly in heart. Paul, I think, with reference to Jesus, put it this way in Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 through 8. And when we read this scripture, I think in the first two verses, we're going to find the definition of humility. And in the last two verses, we will find the product of humility. Paul writes, "Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem others better than themselves. Do not let each man look upon his own things, but each man on the things of others." Here's the definition of humility. But Paul goes on to say, "For let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation," a characteristic of humility, "and took upon himself the form of a servant," a characteristic of humility, "and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." Obedience. Three products of humility in these verses. And I think the disciples of Jesus Christ must exhibit the same willingness to serve rather than being served. You want honor? You want glory? This is how you get it. This is what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ. Humility produces a servant-like attitude. Humility produces obedience to the Word of God. Humility esteems others. And this is the definition of honor, really. Honor means to hold someone or something in high regard. And as you live humbly, if you esteem others, then God will honor you. And God will hold you and I in high regard. That's what it means to esteem. Example of this, I think we can see in Matthew chapter 20. We find the petition of the mother of the sons of Zebedee asking Jesus to place her son in a high-ranking position in his kingdom. And notice the response of Jesus in verses 25 through 28. "But Jesus called them and said, 'You know the rulers of the nations exercise dominion over them, and they who are great exercise authority over them. However, it shall be not so among you. But whoever desires to be great among you, let him be your servant. And whoever desires to be chief among you, let him be your servant. Even as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but serve, and to give his life a ransom for many.'" The great shepherd, the Lord of lords, Jesus Christ himself, was the epitome of service and humility. And this began at a very young age, displaying this humility. In Luke 2, we have the occasion when Jesus, at the age of 12, was sitting among the teachers of the law of his day, and they were astonished at his understanding and his answers regarding questions of the law. Here was God in the flesh. And yet, we find Jesus returning with his parents. And the scriptures tells us in verse 51, "Then he went down with them as parents and came to Nazareth and was subject to them." God in the flesh. The one who had dominion and authority. The one who knew more than his parents subjected himself to them. Because he was a humble servant to his Father God in heaven. And he understood the law of God under which he lived. There are other examples that manifest the humility in the life of Jesus Christ. In Matthew chapter 9, verses 9 through 12, Matthew 9, 9 through 12, we have these words. "And as Jesus passed on from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax office. And he said to him, 'Follow me,' and he arose and followed him. And it happened as Jesus reclined in the house, behold, many tax collectors and sinners came and were reclining with him and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw, they said to his disciples, what does your master eat? Why does your master eat with tax collectors and sinners? But when Jesus heard, he said to them, the ones who are whole do not need a physician, but the ones who are sick. Because of humility, Jesus Christ could sit down with the outcasts and the bitter dregs of society of his day because he knew that they needed him in their lives. We have to have that same attitude. We have to be willing to go to the bitter dregs and sinners of this world. We cannot prejudge. The Pharisees were such a proud group that they didn't even want to be identified with the people who need Jesus Christ. In Acts chapter 8, verses 32 and 33, we read, and the content of the scriptures which he read was this, he was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shear, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. Because of humility, Jesus Christ could sacrifice and suffer on our behalf. And on the behalf of all humanity. In John chapter 5, verses 39 through 44, you search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are the ones witnessing of me. And you will not come to me that you might have life. I do not receive honor from men, but I know you, that you do not have the love of God in you. I have come in my Father's name, and you do not receive me. If another shall come in his own name, him you will receive. How can you believe? You who receive honor from one another and do not seek the honor that comes from God only. Jesus condemned them because they sought honor from one another, and yet they could not show the kind of humility to even sit down with the bitter dregs of society of that day. Honor, holding others in regard, is only relevant for the disciples of Christ if it comes from God. Albert Barnes once wrote, if one preserves himself from corrupting influences, he is a vessel for honor. You know, our culture has a basis for giving honor one to another. And that basis is star power. That's how they give honor to one another. You see that in Hollywood. They think that they are it because of their star power. You see that in our politicians. They think they are important. You must give them honor because they have star power. And you see that, you know, in all aspects of our life. We cannot allow the decadence and the hypocrisy that is shown in the way they give honor to one another to influence us. There are no stars in this congregation. There are only disciples of Jesus Christ, each of whom has some ability, some talent that we use for the cause of Jesus Christ. And we need to do that with humility. We need to understand that we do that with humility because not a one of us is worthy of what Jesus Christ has done for us. We all are sinners, every one of us. But God in the flesh came, demonstrated humility beyond the measure of what we could even imagine so that we could have a relationship with his Father in heaven. Humility. Brethren, as disciples of Jesus Christ, we must imitate him in our lives. James chapter 4 verse 10 says, humble yourselves in the presence of the Lord and he will exalt you. That's the idea of honor. You want to be esteemed by God? You want him to exalt you? Humble yourself before him. When we demonstrate the humility that God wants in our lives, we won't act like the world. We will not let what the world considers the basis for honor to influence our lives. Athletes, they believe that they have honor because they are stars, star athletes. We cannot allow that to influence us. We must be fair-minded, understanding, and willing to forgive, gentle in spirit, gracious in our dealings with others, and exalted in the eyes of God. And when we demonstrate this kind of humility, we will have honor. We will be regarded highly by God in heaven. That's what we need to do, to have humility. In no other way can we be honored. We're not stars. We're stars in one sense, and that is, we've got to shine the light of Jesus Christ. We have to be bright. But that's the only way. And then we need to have the humility to understand who we are, what we are, and how we need to act. And when we approach humbly our God in heaven, our fellow man, and we come to them with the word in all humility, understanding, we need that too in our lives. Then we will be exalted. We will have honor. As the prophet said that I read earlier, you know, the fear of the Lord in Proverbs, the fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom. And before honor is humility. Before honor. Let us go out in this world, humble servants of Jesus Christ, just simply trying to display the cause of Jesus in our lives and be the kind of people that understand without Jesus, without what he has given us, we are nothing. Absolutely nothing. And if you're here today and you've never yielded your life to Jesus Christ, it takes a humble attitude. It takes a humble attitude to step out in that aisle and to come down and to confess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. To repent, knowing because you are a sinner. And then to go down in that watery grave of baptism. You know, it says over there in 1 Corinthians that God chose the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And the wise will say to you, why do you have to be baptized in water? What does the water do for you? Well, what it does is, it shows that you have a humble attitude and that you're willing to yield to Jesus Christ. And if you need the prayers of this congregation, no one's going to hold that against you. We're only here to help one another to get to heaven, because we realize that we will be in that same place, that we all need to have a humble attitude, the humility to understand that without God and Jesus Christ, we have no hope. If you're subject to the call, to the invitation anyway, let it be known as we stand and sing the song that's been selected.